Hi, this is James Barris. I hope you find this talk supports you in your practice. If you'd like to support my teaching, you can use the donate button underneath my picture on Dharma Seed to do that. Your support is greatly appreciated. So I wanted to talk this evening a topic that I'm calling the power of collective intelligence. And it's really based on an article by that name, that title, that inspired me about a dozen years or so ago, that has stayed with me since, and I've been able to locate it again, written by a guy named Craig Hamilton. And it's about how when people get together, there at times can be an alignment in the field that becomes quite, not just powerful, but quite magical. And I wanted to explore that. It's been on my mind in the last week or so. I had a conversation with a friend who I support, who had just shared a workshop that she led in LA, and it was this magical kind of a feeling, and we were looking at the elements of what makes something so magical. And she said it was like I wasn't leading, I was more just enjoying bringing us all together and having a kind of a flow that was quite extraordinary. And that got me to think about this article. I started to talk about it. Oh yeah, this is something that I've been very interested in studying myself. And then I went back and was able to download the article, The Power of Collective Intelligence by Craig Hamilton, it's called. It's not a short article, but it's kind of brilliant and has inspired me, as I said, for quite a while. But first I want to talk about people coming together and the importance of connection, which is something when we're here on Zoom, there's a limited sense of connection, especially if, you know, when people can be seen, there's that much more of a sense of connection. But and then when people are live, when we're live, there's a kind of energetic feeling that comes with that. So it's one of the trade-offs of being on Zoom, that people can come from far away places that wouldn't normally connect, and it is different than that kind of in-person energy. But a few words about connection. As you all know, the Buddha talked about refuge in the Sangha as being one of the three jewels, one of the three gems, the triple gem. Refuge in the Sangha, as he said, being with like-minded friends is the whole of the holy life. It's different than when you're meditating on your own, and when you're practicing without a sense of connection with others. That's why people come on retreats, the Spirit Rock or other places. He says, because we can forget and we can then remind each other of what we know or are practicing, and we are affected by everyone around us. We're social beings and we need each other. I was looking it up about last year, the Surgeon General of the United States came out with an essay about the epidemic of loneliness in the United States. Lacking connection can increase the risk for premature death to levels comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. This essay titled "Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation" finds that even before COVID, about half of US adults reported experiencing measurable levels of loneliness. And it warns that the physical consequences of poor connection can be devastating, including a 29% increased risk of heart disease, a 32% increased risk of stroke, and a 50% increased risk of developing dementia for older adults. Wow, that makes you sit up and think about it, and makes you want to stay connected. So I'm so glad that we're all connected right now as we speak. I'm not speaking to myself, and you're not alone feeling not connected to others, at least for these couple of hours. And there's this Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which probably many of you are familiar with, that after survival and safety, belonging and love is the next important need for human beings. That's really powerful. Just after you're not in danger and you have your needs met, food and nourishment, belonging, sense of belonging is the next. And there's different kinds of belonging, but it's such a deep kind of need, you know, that people join gangs or join feel that sense of tribe that says we're different than them, which of course, you know, you want to honor your culture, honor your heritage, and be proud of your heritage. But when it gets to fear and violence and anger and hurt, then this is not an uplifting kind of tribal connection. Right now, there's all of these protests on the college campuses. I'm sure you've been moved by it or having some kind of idea about it. And there are many, many people who are protesting because they really care, because they care about not about people being hurt and harmed. And then there's other people who are protesting, you know, not the main folks, but some people who are just, their anger spills over into destruction and fear and violence. So there's different ways that you can feel part of a tribe doing something that you believe in from your heart, out of that sense of caring. And then there are others that are feeling that sense of tribe, and the anger is the and the bitterness is the and the eruption of wanting to cause hurt and violence is the motivating factor. And those, it's the same sense of connect, it's the same connection or feeling, oh, I'm with my folks, but coming from a very different feeling. And it seems that although connection can be positive or negative, when it's positive, and this is what I wanted to start getting into, when people come together with a wholesome force coming out of their caring, coming out of benefiting others as well as themselves, that it can be truly inspiring, uplifting, and joyful. And just as hatred and anger is contagious, so is goodness. Goodness is contagious. And that's where I want to get into this, this power of collective intelligence. The Buddha says that in the seven factors of enlightenment, probably familiar with that list, it's a basic list of all the different qualities that, when ripened, express themselves in a full ripening as awakening, mindfulness and investigation and energy and joy and tranquility and calm and equanimity. And when those are ripened, these are the factors that lead to awakening. And to this topic, he says there is one common factor that can cultivate all of these seven. And the one factor in common with all of them is being with others that embody that quality. So he says, if you want to cultivate calm, be with people who have done that or who are working with that. If you want to cultivate equanimity or balance, be around people who've developed that. If you want to cultivate joy, be around people who are interested in cultivating joy, etc., etc. He says this is the one thing that is common to all of those qualities of awakening, which is one of the reasons why good friends is the whole of the holy life. And when people come together and are having a common cause, and that cause is one of contribution, as I said, goodness, that wholesomeness and compassion, it's extraordinarily uplifting. Whether it's volunteering together, where you're, sometimes people say, I don't know what I can do, I'm feeling kind of disconnected. Volunteering and going to some place where your caring can be expressed is really powerful. This is a little research study. Volunteering contributes to happiness by decreasing boredom and creating an increased sense of purpose in life. Volunteers, on average, are twice as likely to feel happy with themselves as non-volunteers. That's interesting. So, whatever ways that you are experiencing a wholesome experience, even having fun together, it's so uplifting. You know, singing. I love to sing with people. I don't like to perform so much, but I do like to sing with people and get people to sing together. And there's something so magical about everyone singing together for those moments. Oh, we're all singing in unison together. You know that feeling? I'm sure you do. It's like for a while we're all one voice, one mind, one heart. Or the same, enjoying a concert together. You know that feeling you go to a concert and everybody is just so thrilled to be with the performer. Just remember the last time you went to something like that, a concert like that. And just the joy of connection. It's so different than watching it on a TV screen. You can feel the energy in the room. The same with going to a sports event where the whole stadium or arena is cheering or commiserating together. But say you're cheering together, cheering for your team, that it's like the ultimate mudita experience. Everybody just happy at the same time, or concerned at the same time. But there's something about that togetherness, that alignment, that's really magical, indescribable. Same when there's a team that plays together, as you know, if you are in the Bay Area and you've followed basketball and see the way the Golden State Warriors, when they're really clicking, are playing together. That's the beauty, that they are just in sync. And it's one mind working together. The same with even grieving together. When we grieve together, there is a shared connection that goes beyond our individual experience. So, in this article, The Power of Collective Intelligence, Craig Hamilton describes a lot of research that has been done about groups coming together and the experience that when everyone is aligned, the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. There's something quite extraordinary about being in a group where it's not individuals waiting to get their thoughts or their word in, but rather there's a kind of harmonizing that that uses the collective, the field, the wisdom arises out of that field of alignment. Have you ever been in a group that's gelled like that, where everyone felt that they belonged and there was a just a genuine feeling of alignment and it was experienced by everyone? And just think of a time when that happened, if you've been in a group like that. It's usually not a large group unless you're kind of at a sporting event or a concert, but a smaller group where there's something special happening. And if you can, recall a time when you were in a group like that. And if you can recall, just get in touch with what that feeling was like and why it happened, what made it happen. And how special it was. Maybe before I go on, if anyone is willing to share when they've been in a situation like that with others, you can raise your hand or open, hit the reactions box. Anyone want to share about being in groups like that? When it was for you? Hello? Or if you want to put something in the chat box. Oh, there we go. Charlie, that's great. Wait, I'm going to also open up the chat box too. Yeah, Charlie, can't you share?
Thank you, James. I had that experience recently. I do some peace activism with an organization called the Peace Alliance, and I had that feeling that you're talking about. And I was just thinking about how I actually have had like a high, like a feeling of like a high from how much joy or feeling of belonging and goodness and part of something bigger than I am and all that kind of stuff. And just a main reason I wanted to mention it, since nobody else was saying anything anyway, is that's where I met you. You gave a talk, one something, I can't think of what it's called, a something circle or something. They started maybe, anyways, hope story circle.
The hope
Any
story.
anyways,
Oh, yeah.
yeah, and you are how I got interested in Buddhism, for God's sakes. So I mean, all this stuff like weaves in together and stuff, but so thank you and infinite blessings and joy and laughter and love to you and all of your friends and family, man. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, the magic. I remember that, and I still have the a connection with my friend Yelena, who was on that, and we've become very close friends through that gathering. And yeah, and there was such a beautiful setting of alignment for that she set up. In fact, it felt so good to me. I said, "That's a pretty neat human being. I think I want to stay in touch with her," because I felt that in that particular day. Even though it was on Zoom, it was really beautiful. So yeah, glad we met and glad you're here
Thanks, James.
years
Thank
later.
you, James. Thank you, me too.
Thanks. Hey, Rick. Hi. You can unmute.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, I've had the experience a bunch of times. When I got arrested in various, save the world, actions. First, when I was dropped out of college and joined the civil rights movement, and I got thrown in jail with about 30 other young people in Georgia, America's Georgia, and we spent 3 weeks together in this converted stable. They didn't really have a jail; they threw us in this stable, and it was a stable and a horse stable, you know. And we became one there. A bunch of young people, young boys, you know, they threw the girls in a different one. And a bunch of other different places, like Diablo Canyon and Redwood Summer and a whole bunch of other times.
So it's interesting. You were arrested and put in jail in a stable for 3 weeks, and it was a memory that really brings uplift and joy when you think about it. Is that right? Did I get that right?
They fed us two of these tiny hamburgers a day, and they had a young kid sitting on a tree stump with a shotgun, make sure we just stayed in jail. But mostly they just left us alone. And so we, you know, we talked about girls. We talked mostly about food.
And what when you talked about whatever you talked about, could you describe the feeling between you? Not the content, but the energy that you, as you recall it, with such fondness.
Well, yeah, you know, I probably don't have the literary words to describe it, but yeah, we all got along and we really bonded there. You know, people I never met before. And it's the same in most of these experiences. I've done it maybe a dozen times in various institutions. And also, a lot of other different, where I wasn't thrown in jail, but we were working on one of the Save the World campaigns. I remember one time we're protesting testing of, I think it was in New Mexico. We had a long march out into the desert where we were protesting the nuclear testing on Indian reservations. And we had a big circle with the and a lot of spiritual American Indian spiritual stuff, big circle in the sunset. It's, yeah, I guess I'm not very good at describing the emotional part of it.
No, you're communicating. First, I want to appreciate all the work that you've done out of that caring, wanting to make a difference.
Oh yeah, another one was I had a sailboat, and I had spent some time. I had a teepee once up at a hot spring in Northern California, and I had made friends with some American Indians from New Mexico, Native Americans from New Mexico, and they bring up peyote, and we had peyote circles in my teepee. And then as a result of that, when I had a sailboat, they came to me and we took people out to Alcatraz. The Native Americans took over Alcatraz. And we had to dodge the Coast Guard and stuff. And, a great feeling of camaraderie and being one in the peyote circles and on the boat. And
that's beautiful. So that feeling of you said bonding and camaraderie, even in difficult circumstances, that overrode the circumstances, and you look back on it and have an uplifting memory in there.
And you know, it's always very circumstances are extreme. It was always very light and good humor. A lot of good humor.
So sometimes going through the difficult circumstances can create even more of a sense of bonding, where you're all caring together and can override the challenging conditions, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, a lot of good memories, a lot of good stories, and I watch the young people now doing the same thing, you know. They say that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, but it's rhyming pretty close.
Yeah.
To to a time when I was really active, you know, and not so active anymore because it's getting harder to get around.
Well, you got some good memories, and maybe there's more ways to stay connected, and rather than those kinds of
Yeah,
action.
you kind of have to learn to be not attached to the results because there's always going to be bad guys and they're always going to be doing the same things again and again. And you just got to keep being active to promote the good and but not get so attached to the results. Otherwise, like, you know, we're repeating these things over and over again. But there is progress. You know, it's two steps forward and one step back. It's probably more like 10 steps forward and 9 steps back in the long run, but there is progress. And so you gotta keep, just like in meditation, I go off into my to-do list and then I gotta go back and start over again with the breath. It's the same thing with the activism. You got to go back and start over again, and you're always starting over again, but there is progress.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, and thanks for all that work and that caring. So, thank you very much. Nancy, hi.
Hi, hello. Thank you for this call. I have to second Charlie's addition about peace work. I work with him also in the Peace Alliance Department of Peace Building campaign. I have to second your comment about the Golden State Warriors being a Bay Area person. How can you not receive joy from Steph Curry and when the team is clicking? And I have to add, I've gotten so much joy and uplift over the years from the Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia, and just going to those concerts.
Yeah, that's a magical experience. And
Definitely.
especially everybody is there out of goodwill and just celebrating life.
Yes.
Beautiful. So we've all probably been in groups that have that experience of gelling. I want to read to you a little bit from this article about what they're describing. One person's account. In the group, I experienced a kind of consciousness that was almost a singularity, like a dropping of personalities and a joining together where there was no sense of conflict. Nobody was in opposition, and everybody was just helping each other. It became obvious that we weren't responding to individual personalities, but were responding to something much deeper, much more real in each other that was collective and something that we shared, a commonality, really. There was a tremendous sense of listening and awareness that was much greater and much more vast than anything I've ever experienced. And with that experience came a sense that there was just one body in the room. Isn't that neat? Like, wow, I want to be part of that group. Huh? This is what Craig says. Call it collective consciousness, team synergy, co-intelligence, or group mind. People are discovering through their own experience that wholes are indeed far more than the sum of their parts, that when individuals come together with a shared intention in a conducive environment, something mysterious can come into being with capacities and intelligences that far transcend those of the individuals involved. In these group experiences, people have access to a kind of knowing that's bigger than what we normally experience with each other, one researcher said. you feel the presence of the sacred, and you sense that everybody else in the group is also feeling that. There's a sense of openness and awareness of something larger than yourself. Your ability to communicate seems broader. What is astounding to people is how much creativity comes forth in a setting like that. You have a sense that the whole group is creating together, and you don't quite exactly know how. So, of course, this is not, you know, it's beautiful when it happens, and it's not so common that it happens, but it can happen. It can happen when everybody has a common cause or a common caring or a shared experience of fun. And when the ego gets out of the way, you know, you've probably been in groups where maybe people are waiting for their turn to speak, or maybe you're waiting for your turn to speak. And when that happens, you're more waiting than just flowing. And so this is, it's an experience where the self gets out of the way, gets subsumed by something much bigger. And it is an experience of anatta, of the selfless nature of reality, when that happens. You don't have to go on a meditation retreat to experience that selfless nature. You're right there in seeing, oh, something is happening through all of us. When I lead small groups, and I lead a number of small groups, it's a bit different with a group of this size, and not everybody gets a chance to speak, or we're in the same room. But in a small group, as a leader, what I try to do, it's not so much to impart information. I find that my job is to do as much as I can to create a safe enough environment where everybody feels they belong, and everybody feels that they're valued. And the less that I do to control the group, the more, if there is that alignment, it just seems to do itself. And what I'm tuning into is the energy in the field more than the content. And if there's an aliveness that is happening between all of us, it doesn't matter whose mouth the words come out of. That's the beauty. That's when this the wisdom, the collective wisdom, is using the group energy and the group field. So where does this lead to? As I said, I am putting on with Jane this community gathering in a few weeks, and I'm kind of really excited about it. Oh, we're gonna sing, we're gonna have dance music, we're gonna just express our caring about what's happening, and not from a sense of bad guys. You know, one can easily get into that, but in a sense of, and I'm not saying this, I know some of you, you know, many of you aren't in the Bay Area, so this isn't just a speech to get you to come, but I'm inviting you to find something like this wherever you are, because the more you can express your caring in a way with others and feel that kind of community and magic, because you love the planet, for instance. You know, when I do this this event coming up, this is my climate action. I'm doing it because it's the one way I can think of to, or the most important way to make a difference in the climate. But whatever your cause is, if you can find a way to be with others, community is what is going to get us through these difficult times. That's my main point. To find others who care about the things, whatever it is that you care about, and in a spirit of contribution, work together, like Rick was sharing with his activist experiences, work together for the benefit of all. And I sincerely hope, especially in these next months, to get in touch with what you care about and to see that whatever you do care about, if it's for the benefit of the whole, if it's for loving the planet, if it's for bringing out goodness in others, that this is a time to find others to connect with and feel that joy of an alignment in cause, in caring, in a group intelligence, because that's really where the power comes from. I'll just close. I read this poem a month or so ago by Dana Falls. I'm going to read it again, called Sangha. She says, "Teach me what I cannot learn alone. Let us share what we know and what we cannot fathom. Speak to me of mysteries and let us never lie to one another. May our fierce and tender longing fuel the fire in our souls. When we stand side by side, let us dare to focus our desire for the truth. May we be reminders, each for the other, that the path of transformation passes through the flames. To take one step is courageous, to stay on the path day after day, choosing the unknown and facing yet another fear together. That is nothing short of grace." So, any last comments or reflections? We can take a few moments. Anything that's coming out of you that wants to be said? Yeah, Larry, hi. Why don't you unmute?
I want to get back to the monastery.
Tell me what's behind you. Oh, back to Berkeley Buddhist Monastery.
Berkeley Buddhist Monastery.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a little update. We tried to work it out with the monastery. Even I wanted to have a day long in May, but it wasn't going to work out for their schedule, and that was going to be the kickoff. And then the way it worked out, we do have a day in October. We agreed with the monastery for a day long, and I'm going to be gone for a lot of the summer, and Eve is going to be gone for part of the summer as well, And also, there were just a few times between that were going to be that it seemed like it made sense to start something and then stop. So, although that was the plan to get together to start going back to the monastery in the spring, it looks like it's going to be postponed until the fall. But even I have been in conversations with the monastery, the monastics, because we would like to see this happen, but it just doesn't seem schedule-wise that it makes sense to start just yet. But I would like to as well, very much so. But hopefully, maybe you can come to this Northbrae gathering and have
Yeah,
people
I want to, yes.
it, with Eve there, and she'll be bringing some music, of course. I'll do a little bit of singing with everybody. And Lou is a really inspiring speaker. And we want to have fun being aligned together to make a difference. So thank you for that, and hope to see you when we get together in a few weeks, and also in the fall. Any other comments before we go? Okay, so let's have a closing dedication. And maybe as we do, get in touch with what you really care about. This is Andrew Harvey's line. He says, "Follow your heartbreak. And whatever you care about, just see how these coming months and what happens in November will be affected by that. And if you follow your heartbreak, then feel that sense of contribution and connect with others who care about that too." And I hope in the coming months there's a lot of caring going on, that you find others that you can work with and play with and feel a connection with. And taking it on as a joyful responsibility, as Julia Butterfly Hill says. And may our coming here together be of benefit to ourselves, everyone in our lives, and ripple out to be of benefit to all beings and this beautiful planet that we share. Okay, have a good week. See you in a while. See you soon. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.